All right, it is Monday, July 7, 2025. If you could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our name is Greg, you will be the Clover Township Board of Trustees.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We do have a couple of agenda adjustments. Kathleen Karen Ford from Lucas County has canceled. And then we are also having executive session to discuss, consider discipline of a public employee and also a possible real estate transaction. Any other adjustments to the agenda? All right. Were there any adjustments or to our last meeting minutes from our meeting on June 16th?
I don't have any.
I'll make a motion to submit as, or approve as submitted.
Second.
Second by Vickery on the motion. Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
And then we have no correspondence. Our fiscal officer has submitted bills totaling $1,313,888.35, which included $812,000 for our portion of the Mount Clover sewer project. So I'll make a motion to pay those as submitted.
Second.
Second by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
And then we also need to move some funds around for said improvements. So I make a motion to increase appropriations into account 1-000-760-730-0 improvement of sites in the amount of $812,163.71.
Second.
Second.
Motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. All right. Any old business items?
Oh, we have the JEDS report.
Yeah, I'm sorry, in correspondence.
It's not really in correspondence. I think it's with the fiscal officer's report.
Yeah. We received a letter from the city of Toledo from Aaron, I hope I'm pronouncing this, Hassan. This is for the, first quarter airport JED, the total collections were a little over 108,000. After the portion delivered to the airport operator, which is the Port Authority, that the portion going each to Swanton Township, Mount Clover Township, and the City of Toledo were $15,635. And then also we have our portion from the CETA and the Maumee Mount Clover GEDZ. And this is for the first quarter as well. And our portion on that is
is that total payments to Mount Clover?
Yeah, but that's just the Toledo's portion. That doesn't include the Maumee portion.
Oh, is that both of them? Toledo payments to Mount Clover.
This is hard to understand. It looks like $443,000. Well, we'll clarify that now.
That's right. It's $443,619.40. And we get a third of that. But
Maumee and Toledo are having their portion of the interchange withheld.
Yeah, that's supposed to be outside of what they give to us. And I've asked Gavin about this before, so
it looks like $189,809.
But that takes out the $32,000 for the payment.
Yeah.
And that's not supposed to be part of our leads. So, again.
So it needs to be brought to Gavin's attention and again, clarify the
and it's the second time he's going to be clarifying it.
Okay.
Because he said the first time it was right. But again, we can't explain.
This is hard to decipher.
So, Kathleen, do you mind putting that on your to-do list?
I can do that.
I'd also like it sent to the JEDZ board, since Maumee doesn't ever accomplish that.
And just to clarify, you want this?
The Maumee portion, just the Maumee report, not the airport for Jess.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe we get Joyce to, I'll Maumee collect this one, but yeah. Talk to Aaron at City of Maumee, maybe he can clarify that. All right, any new business items? And then we'll go into Harold's report. We've got our 2027 road project already.
Yes, preparing to submit our OPWC application. The financials that I've listed here on my memo will probably change. I understand a third party is going to be joining us. Springfield Township will be part of this now, so numbers may change a little bit, but I just need authorization to prepare and submit the application.
All right, any questions? So this is the Springfield Township portion. Oh, I just lost it.
We were originally planning to just submit a joint application.
For Burnwick.
Right.
All right. I move to approve resolution 0707202501, authorizing the administrator.
Yeah. Move to approve resolution number 0707205-01, authorizing the administrator to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Public Works Commission State Capital Improvement and or Local Transportation Improvement Program and to execute contracts as required.
Second.
Lane, on the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes. All right, then we have the IROL contract.
Yeah, I needed a little explanation on this. Is this something new we're adding to our...
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I don't know how you think I'm going to say yes to that when this is something brand new and there's a paragraph.
Well, we've talked about it before. It's been a while. I apologize.
Let me just see if I had it right. At our last meeting, maybe the two meetings ago, we approved a fire inspector position.
This
is a tool that person's going to use, and it involves a company that will go into these businesses and do the work.
The service providers that do the testing currently, so the company that comes and tests our fire alarm panel, our sprinkler system, our backflow preventer, they come in and do that annually. That's required as part of the fire code to have a separate testing agency come in and do that. These third-party compliance companies, what they do is they work to coordinate the submission of those reports into the files, and then they help the jurisdictions attain compliance with the codes for that. So the business, whether it be us as Mount Clova Township when we have our inspection done, or any business in the township, they have to contract with people to do, like, the fire extinguishers, people to do their sprinkler. And those service providers then submit the report to these compliance engines.
Who do they support? Who do they send it to now? Who does Excel send it to now?
They have to send it directly to us for
the
part of the
file.
The companies have to
have
a copy of
the reports. So our fire inspector walks in and says, I need to see all your reports.
Right. And then we have to review those reports. So these compliance engine companies...
And put them somewhere.
These compliance engine companies then...
Do that work for you.
...are helping to keep up on those, make sure that they're submitted timely, so that the business maintains
compliance.
They're
going to access to the business?
They have access to the reports that
the
service provider sends into them. and they upload it to us.
And if Excel doesn't send one in from Service Spring or Monclova Township or another business, who does the third-party company contact?
The third-party company will contact the
fire
provider.
Inspector?
The provider, the service providers for their reports. They will contact the business owner that says the report is due from the service provider. So if they haven't scheduled, it's kind of like a reminder of the business to get that scheduled to do. And they send it to us after there's a time limit where there's a 3-day notice that's sent to them if it's overdue, 60-day notice. And then at the 90-day mark, it's sent to us so that we can address.
How do they get the company's information? Do we share that information?
Our list of businesses is shared with the compliance company, and then they also work too. So if the report from Excel or the other service provider says that there's a deficiency, this compliance engine will.
And from this, you're talking about the cheapest, and in the job description where I had the whole list, I wanted the person that was best going to deal with our companies and in fact be a full service provider that does more than fire. So now I've got the cheapest company reaching out to my businesses saying, you're 30 days late, you're 60 days late, I'm calling
them. They're not reaching out to the businesses directly. They're pulling information.
He just said
they will send a letter to the service provider. And then if there's no response from the service provider, they will send a letter to the company that just says that this report is due from the service provider.
Maybe this brings us into the 21st century, right? Maybe this is the right thing to do. I have enough information to make that decision. And you're bringing it to me to make the decision. What are you asking me to do to pay them?
No, we don't pay.
No, we have no
cost.
Oh,
that's right. And we're charging our companies to do this.
We have no cost to the...
Yeah, I didn't like anything about it.
We have no cost ourselves. The occupancy, the business has no cost themselves.
Now what I need to know is, were Harold and Matt sitting in the room saying, you know, Barbara's just not going to agree to this?
The service provider pays the fee, which I'm sure is back to it, to the business, just like when you pay your insurance and it gives you coverage for an ambulance,
yes.
Right, coverage for a hospital visit. The cost is built into their contract. It's already built into the contracts for this area because the majority of everybody else in the area is already on this service, so there's no direct increase to the consumer business themselves. And no cost to us as the authority having jurisdiction. It's just a way that they have to assist the fire prevention bureaus and agencies in maintaining compliance.
Who's paying for this? You're saying there's no to us.
The business is paying for it through the service provider that checks their fire.
So when you have a contract with whatever company does your testing.
Say the name of a company. Excel is the only one.
FireX or
Excel. Excel is one that does sprinklers. Guardian would do alarms. Firefighter, FireX.
They
have several different
pay
companies.
This company, but they already built into the contract with Business X the cost.
Because I know we just had ours all done with our sprinklers. Was it Cliche? They were just bought out.
Protegious.
Protegious. So they just came in and they come in once a year. So you're saying when I pay Protegious to do my fire extinguishers, then they in turn
at your business in Springfield?
Right.
Yeah, so Springfield has Ricer, which is another the other compliance engine company that we look
Protege
at.
Protege or whatever Protege. You just say.
Protegious
submits the reports to Ricer on behalf of Springfield Township, and then they get the updates in the file, they get the report to review, they get any notes if there's compliance. That's the same thing. I the difference between Ricer and iRoll that we saw was iRoll has a dedicated person that works with your defense, so there's one point of contact at the company for you. Ricer is looking to add that, but they won't have it for another couple of months.
Who does this now?
Who does it now?
The record keeping now for Monclova Township.
The inspector, when they go to the site, they would ask to review all the copies of the reports that are there. So the business is required to get the testing done. They're required to have a copy of the report, and the copy of the report's supposed to be provided to us. We get them sometimes. Other times we review them when we go on site to the
And can X in the box, saw the report, it's complete. you don't keep the report.
It's added to the cumulative file that we have for the
IAC. You do keep the report.
So if we have it, yes, we keep a copy of it, and it's added to the file, and it's there as part of their,
so we're doing
their profile. But if we don't get a copy of it, then we review it. We review the report on arrival for the inspection, and then we have to address anything that says it's deficient. If it says, you know, they had 3 sprinkler heads that need to be replaced.
So you'll be more prepared for your inspection because you'll already have reports. And I assume they're on a cloud somewhere and you're going to have to leave access to them.
Okay. Correct.
So, but you have no idea what the cost is to the business per se? I know it's added in, but I don't know if you're talking a $5 cost or if you're... I just, you know, a lot of our businesses are already in the JEDD zone and they pay quite a bit.
What I'm saying is that the cost they're probably already paying because of the contract that they have with these companies, and these companies already provide these reports to one, this company as a compliance engine or one of the other compliance engines that are out there. They're already submitting it in everywhere in the state of Oklahoma.
So Vertigis, for example, they're doing their report work.
So whatever they're charging the company business, they probably have the fees already built into that to cover their costs.
Or they'll add it.
That's
it.
Because I was wondering.
It'll be another X amount. And it's not going to be $5.
Nice trying.
Yeah. So.
Are there any other municipalities using this?
Yeah. Just Church Springfield Township.
No.
So Bricer is the main one that's in use in Lucas County by the food vendors, the mobile food vendors, food trucks, and that. They all submit through iRoll, which is the company that we're looking at. We have access to iRoll files on the food vendors through the Northwest Fire Prevention Association, and we're working on an MOU agreement with them to be able to incorporate us into that system and to accept that and to make updates to the system through them to make a cohesive statewide access on the food vendors. iRoll, there are a couple other area departments. It's mostly in the Wood County area that are in them, but they're up and so their other departments are looking at them as well. But
Is there a lease term on this, and can it be terminated if there is a lease term, or what's going on as far as commitment?
Yes, it has an out on it. The agreement's attached in the back. There just has to be a notification period for us to terminate.
And the per report fee is $19.99.
So we don't have access. We have to pay it for it.
No. The service provider has to pay the fee of $19.99 to submit their report.
$20.
$20, yes.
I love it. $19.99.
The Bricer was in the ballpark of that, just a little bit higher than the $19.99. And then the bigger difference on the Bricer was...
It's a three-year term.
Was that Bricer also required a repayment for a submission of report. So if the service provider submitted a report, there was a defect on it. Once they cleared the defect, they had to repay for the submission, second submission. iRoll doesn't charge for the second submission.
There's something wrong, and they pay to submit it, but there's something wrong. They back in other companies charge another $19.99.
Yep.
So if they did your inspection and said these sprinklers heads were out of date, they need to be replaced. Once you have them replaced by your sprinkler service provider, they would have to submit a new report that said on such and such date these heads were replaced. We're now in compliance. So the iRoll system doesn't recharge that service provider to submit the completed report.
So can I make the motion? Or do you have more questions?
Okay.
And it is a three-year agreement.
Yeah, so I couldn't understand how you can get it, but maybe.
Is there a termination if we want to decide we don't like their work?
Yes, 90-day written notice for termination.
That's what it said. Move to authorize the administrator to accept the service level agreement from iRoll to provide third-party code compliance for Monclova Township Fire Department use.
Second.
Second by Herschel. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Lane?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
And the final item I need for formal action this evening is the pickleball court sign. Doug's been working on this for quite a while. And he has come up with the sound barrier material that should help. We have a quote from Fence Screen LLC for $21,060.86.
I did talk to Doug on this. He said this is the same material that the city of Sylvania on their course and have had good success with. I guess my only question on this is, you know, an opaque material, and we're only doing it on three sides for security reasons. We'll probably still get a handful of concerns because it will minimize the sound on three sides, but on one side will remain open, which we need to do for security purposes and to let some air flow through the courts. But I mean, it's a.
I think this is going to be a huge improvement. It's going to be a huge improvement for the wind, so maybe you'll get longer playing seasons because there are fall times that it's really windy out there. And I think it will improve the north south sound. Let's see what happens, Chuck.
Yeah.
If we can move our cameras, we can add another camera. Let's not worry
about that. No, I'm just saying I'm comfortable with this going forward on three sides, but
yeah,
I'm not
so
recommending four sides.
Oh, nobody is right now.
Right.
Let's see what happens. I move to approve $21,060.86 for SoundBlock acoustic wrap for the pickleball courts per the June 27, 2025 quote from Fence Screen LLC.
Second.
On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
The rest is information. I'd be happy to answer any questions about any of the information I just have provided.
I thought you did an excellent job with the Swan Creek watershed maintenance assessment. The township has seen individual properties with an annual assessment of $2,693, and those do use a variety of classifications or ways it's measured. And I think if any of our residents have concern about their acreage, land use, or soil classification, their usage factor or remote factor, they should talk to the county engineer and work through them. We do have to pay a lot. I've got to say this, because it's going to say it if I don't, in right-of-way, and I'm not quite sure about that. It's like a double tax in my mind. But
100%.
Okay, 100%, it's a double tax.
Well, we're hoping some legislation might come through Columbus. I know they've been down talking to Columbus about trying to help with the Swan Creek, the whole ditch assessment. I mean, me as an individual, I received like six or seven notices because I have different properties, and I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 miles away from Swan Creek. That's like...
Yeah.
Right, but we all pay for roads, we all pay for lights, we all pay for the public school, ditch, and the waterways
are
just as important.
But not every single person is assessed. It's assessed at different levels, different amounts, and things like this, according to where you go. So there's just it's not like the whole county's getting accesses for the Swan Creek, for the ditch cleaning or whatever. I agree. I'm just hoping that Columbus comes through and does something to help Lucas County out, and then the property owners that are being attacked for Swan Creek ditch cleaning.
I just meant right of way looking double taxed.
Wow.
Not Swan. I am
completely. Property owners are also.
Well, I understand, and I think we all need to pitch in to keep our waterways clean.
Mm-hmm.
If you want clean drinking water, we have to do something about it.
I didn't say that. I said I'm hoping the county steps up.
The state.
The state.
Yep.
Columbus, I know the county engineer was down testifying. I know Lisa Sobecki was down testifying concerning this.
See what happens.
Something comes through. Certain property owners are not assessed 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years. I don't know. I don't live on the ditch, but I guess I'm going to pay.
Well, our homeowner association, now we're 1 mile from that
right.
Ditch, flystone ditch or whatever,
right.
And we get assessed.
Right. Yeah, so.
Everybody's getting assessed.
Not everyone.
You're within the watershed.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And you probably are, because you've got the running right through your backyard.
Not really, but I used to. It's very nearby.
So. Yeah, it's nearby.
Okay.
All right, right. Then, Matt, we did with Harold about the list, how we're going to have that in our working session. So if you need some information from Gavin on that or updating the numbers on that, the replacement schedule. So
I would just like to also comment. I go to Springfield Township's trustee meetings because I take my mom. She was township trustee for 4 years, and she still enjoys seeing what's happening over there. And they just approved a new ladder truck. They just approved a new fire engine. And they just put on, within the next 2 months, they're going to be doing a new ambulance. And they were talking about, they buy stock trucks, and then they do the changes. But they're just saying that these trucks are not put in almost immediately before the end of 2025, because I talked to them concerning this, that the prices are going to be, percentages going up extremely much because of the engine changes. And I'm just going to put this out here. I've asked you about a fire engine half a dozen times, and I haven't yet to see you bring in anything about the 2027 fire truck. And I've asked about putting a purchase order out for one so we can lock in the price, and I've not seen you bring a fire truck in front of the trustees yet.
We have not started the committee before the 2027 truck yet.
And I have 2027 schedule replacement. Yeah, the
right.
Pierce 1500, right?
But it doesn't. I'm just saying.
It doesn't. What he's saying to you doesn't make sense because of the information you just shared. You expect costs to rise with the change in engine. Somehow that's
emissions and things like this.
Increasing the cost.
Plus the amount. If we're doing special truck, like our other ladder truck, we can't sit 3 years.
When you said stock truck, what does that mean? They bought something off the lot.
From HME.
They bought something
right.
off a
they
lot.
They bought
lot,
yes, stock. The stock truck. Yes. It's like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of change, according to what they would need. And the only reason I'm asking again is I signed a check for $19,000 again on a 1996 fire engine number 3, our third in line, and
it's our backup engine. That's not. It's,
is it in service?
It is in service. Yes.
And it's a 1996?
It's in reserve status now, so that it is used to replace either engine 91 or truck 91. And one of those goes down for maintenance, so that we always maintain two pumping apparatus. So we have one basically designed to stay within Monclova Township, and one that is designed to respond to auto aid, mutual aid. So we never fall below two pumping apparatus. So
I heard you don't need to keep going.
So if there's a flat tire on number one or number two, number three,
well,
comes out of reserve.
He says it's in
yeah.
service, and we just paid $20,000 to put a 30-year-old truck back into service when we could be on the order for a new fire engine. I'm sorry.
So I heard that Chuck wants you to get us a list in 2 weeks.
He would like some updates on what was previously submitted.
We're going to update the replacement schedule. There's everything on there, cots, ambulance, major equipment.
Great. Great.
All laptops.
Chuck, remember, you said me numerous times.
At that time, Trudy, 2 weeks,
no,
our next meeting,
Chuck's
you can address
it costs
Trudy's
more
concerns.
Money to wait. I think you've even repeated my line a few times.
No.
But well, we do have a replacement schedule. It's on 27. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but again, I'm just saying, why can't it be locked in now?
Well, on that, if you're using that theory, we should replace everything brand new right now.
You come with the list.
We have
a budget.
We don't have an unlimited
things
budget.
On the other side.
I don't have an unlimited budget, but you both know I'm 100% behind 100% with the, having the correct equipment there, and with the supply chain still the way it is, when a township orders two or three things and they're saying how long it's taken, if it's customized and there's a committee, it could be another 2 years out. I just can't see keeping dumping money into a 30-year-old fire truck.
But it's a reserve status. It's not
right.
A problem. It's not a
can
problem.
We do this in 2 weeks, though? Can we actually save some time, Chuck, and have this
right.
Discussion so we can all get on the same page? Or
I've been trying
two
to
of
the
us
same
can
page.
Right. Two of us can be on this on the stage, and somebody can be on out,
right.
And you'll be the expert in the room, somewhat. because you'll understand the list that you're providing.
Okay. Like the trustee here, so I would have a okay. list. Right.
Harold, you'll be ready. You'll get Gavin on board so he can tell you how much money we have.
Sure.
Great.
All right. All right, that concludes the agenda. Are there any public comments or questions regarding tonight's agenda? All right, being then, I'll make a motion to close the public portion of the meeting and move to executive session to consider discipline of a public employee and to discuss a real estate transaction.
Second.
Second by Verlaine. On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
All right. All right, it is 7:05 p.m. I'll make a motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second.
Second by
Line.
On the motion, Vickery?
Yes.
Yes.
Line.
Yes.
All right, in executive session, we discussed a possible real estate transaction, which Administrator Grimm will be following up upon. And then regarding the discipline action. We have no specific actions. We did have a number of issues that were discussed thoroughly and addressed, some of which we'll be following up on, some of which will be discussed Wednesday during a labor management meeting, but we have no action items. And then I will make a motion to adjourn at 7:06 p.m.
Second.
On the motion, Langan?
Yes.
Vickery?
Yes.
Yes.